Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us. We look forward to that each and every day as we face the issues. May I remind us, as we face the issues, we do so not based on some philosophical rhetoric or some political ideological bent or some particular thought or persuasion that we may have based on denominational dogma, but based on the authority of the Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus made that statement to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." I don't know of any greater source that we can go to, ladies and gentlemen, for finding truth than what I call the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is truth from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation. It is God's progressive revelation of himself to man, and we find truth throughout the word of God. Jesus said then in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." It is the truth of the word of God that I encourage you to adhere to, especially in these dark days of dilemma, hysteria, and fear. I believe there's not a greater source book that we can go to than the Word of God to find hope and faith and comfort, encouragement, and challenge for the era in which we're living. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, the telephone number is 831-0917. At any point in time during the course of this dialogue and discussion today, feel free to jump in. As some have used the term, put in your 2 cents worth. We'd love to hear from you. 831-0917. As we face the issues each and every day, and we do so based on the authority of truth, let me remind you that it was George Orwell, the secularist, back many years ago, in writing his work on 1984, as he called it, giving some projections as to what would take place in the future. He was on target in so many of his statements, especially when you look at what's happening in society today. But it was Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that to be valid and true even today. That's the reason we need to go back to the Word of God, the Bible, and stand for truth. I find it bewildering, to say the least, of those that will not stand for truth, that will just simply crumble, bow, surrender, bend, submit to anything that comes down the pike, whether it's truth or error, and we simply say, "Well, we have to do so because, after all, the government says so, or after all, the mayor says so, or after all, the governor says it." Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to obey God and not government. I'm not talking about disobeying general guidelines for governments in America. God created government, and he did so for the protection of the civil liberties of citizens around the world. Yes, God's word, the Bible, is a global book that God has given us governance for civil protection around the world. And yet it is disavowed, disallowed, disobeyed, and we find the end result today is chaos, confusion, hysteria on every hand. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus that said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to learn the truth. The truth is not found generally in the Marxist news media today. It's not found any place as far as the reporters are concerned. They have a bent, they have a direction, they have a purpose in what they're wanting to accomplish. We need to stick to the Word of God. And God's Word is truth. And God's Word warns us of the days in which we're living in. It says, perilous times shall come. That means dark, dangerous, difficult, deadly, destructive. And we're finding that to be so evident today in society in which we're living in. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff of men that can answer all of your questions about backup generation equipment and also about the power equipment for landscape and lawn care for the professional and for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the location of the gigantic flag, the American flag. It's the home of the American flag. 165-foot flagpole with a gigantic flag flowing. I understand it takes between 8 and 10 men to get that flag hoisted in the air and off the ground, hold it, keep it off the ground. It's at the home of Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, find that gigantic flag flowing. The intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about today, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And you'll find in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, a wonderful study where the giant, the Philistine giant, Goliath, was facing all of the Jewish leaders and the armies of Israel. And he laughed at them, mocked at them, basically looked at them as nothing. In fact, when you look at the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel and look at verses 4, 5, 6, and 7 in particular, it talks about what this giant wore, the amount of the helmet, the amount of armor that he had on. And he had all of the Israeli soldiers basically fearful, frightened to death. And the scripture says in the 10th verse, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that will fight, that we may fight together. That was the challenge that he issued. And you know the rest of the story. David took him up on that challenge. And the Bible says in the 40th verse, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near unto the Philistine. But before that took place, ladies and gentlemen, David had some brothers, and his brothers challenged him, made fun of him, and chided him about his willingness to go out and stand before the giant. And David said, is there not a cause? I pause for a moment for us to translate that to today's condition. Is there not a cause? Why is there silence? Why do we find so much taking place today that is surrendering and submissive and being simply going along to get along, as I call it, being willing to do so in America with what we see taking place? Ladies and gentlemen, I admit, I am angry over the in-your-face theft of our presidential election. I'm amazed also that Bill Barr of the Department of Justice says there's no widespread election fraud. Yes, I'm even concerned gravely, gravely concerned that very, very few Republicans are talking about voter fraud. I'm concerned of the silence on the part of our leadership in Washington, both in the House and the Senate, that have illustrated and exhibited a spineless condition to take a stand for truth and take a stand for the president and take a stand for the election process and to say something about it. Few Republicans today are taking a stand, ladies and gentlemen, very few. Yes, and I am praying for the work of Sidney Powell. I'm praying for the work of Lynn Wood. I'm praying for the work of Rudy Giuliani and several others that are constitutional attorneys. I'm praying that God will give them success in getting the evidence before the Supreme Court. But my greatest concern, ladies and gentlemen, my greatest fear, my ultimate disappointment is in the fact that America seems to have just willingly and so quickly submitted and surrendered and waved the white flag, even in the face of losing our Bill of Rights, because this is a battle for the Bill of Rights. This is a battle for the foundation of our nation. This is a battle for the future of the United States of America. I don't know how I can express it any more poignantly than that. And the Bible is very, very clear, and I've used this many, many times in the past several months. In Psalms 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, that's a question that should be asked and answered. Proverbs 14, 34, righteousness, that's rightness before God, exalted. That means to lift up, to glorify, to honor a nation. But sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. But we see today, ladies and gentlemen, there doesn't seem to be shame in any fashion coming from those that we look to and call the leadership, those that we have hired by way of our vote and placed in the beltway in Washington in the House and the Senate. I am utterly amazed, staggered by the fact that they seemingly have left Trump out on an island to do the battle for himself, by himself, and not joining in the fray, not joining in the battle. But ladies and gentlemen, Americans today, for the most part, have submitted to believing the so-called science about COVID-19. Yes, we've been sold a bill of goods. And if you don't believe that, just notice Dr. Anthony Fauci, Dr. Birx, and Dr. Tedros of the World Health Organization. Their so-called science keeps vacillating and changing. February this year, Dr. Fauci said that a mask was not needed. March the 8th of this year, he said that everybody needs to wear a mask. And now they're saying that it's not really 14 days you've got to quarantine, 7 days will do it. One time, they were saying that mask could be beneficial, and then they're saying it's not beneficial. And they claim now the reason they said that it wasn't beneficial or efficacious in the beginning is because they wanted to preserve the mask for the healthcare workers. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is Joe Biden says that in office he's going to follow the science. Well, the science changes. It vacillates. It is ever evolving. It is never stable. So what are we going to do? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, is there not a cause? I see there's a great cause, and that is the cause for the battle, and that battle is for the Bill of Rights. The battle is for the foundation of America. The battle is for our right to keep and bear arms. The battle is for our right, the religious rights, the religious liberties, to open our churches and to have services and to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, that Americans have submitted to believing the so-called science about COVID-19. Americans have willingly started to don the mask. They do not recognize, apparently, the harm to health, and it does very little to protect from COVID-19. You've heard me say before, but just by way of addressing this issue of where we're going on this broadcast today, 85% of those that have died with COVID were mask wearers, 85%. As it stands at this moment, mask wearers today have gotten into the habit of doing so, and it is a prideful thing. Look at me, I'm following the health standards. Look at me, I'm following the science. Look at me, I'm wanting to protect me and you. Look at me. I don't know if I've told you on the broadcast or not, but the other day I got into the elevator at a medical building, and I'm not a masker. I don't wear a mask, haven't yet, don't intend to wear one. I'm an anti-vaxxer, don't intend to take a vaccination, so-called COVID vaccination. But I was on the third floor of a medical building, as the elevator door opened, this young lady standing near the control panel in the elevator glanced up and saw me with no mask. She was a young lady, probably 30 years old, pregnant. And she all of a sudden jumped out of the elevator almost in fear and said, "I'll take the stairs." And she ran down three flights of stairs, and by the time she had to run down the steps, because by the time the elevator opened the door on the first floor, she was popping out of the stairwell and looked over and saw me and almost ran down the hallway to get in front of me so that we would not intersect. And I use that as an illustration to point out that I'm the one that was endangering her. I'm the one that was the problem, not her. She had a mask on that covered everything but her eyes and ears. And it was the fact that it points out very clearly and very vividly that that's what we see in America today, is most wearing a mask today do so because it's the end thing to do, not realizing they have submitted, they have surrendered anything that's called constitutional liberties and freedom. And we're being forced, ladies and gentlemen, we, i.e. society, being forced to submit and to surrender. But it's a battle for our Bill of Rights. Our right, ladies and gentlemen, to say no. In fact, there's not been a time in the history of the United States of America where government's ever mandated to wear a mask in any way, in shape, or form, or fashion to supposedly protect us from ourselves. In fact, you go back to anything that's called a covering of the face, was found in the book of Leviticus, I believe it's about the 13th chapter and following, where it was used for those with leprosy, that they were to cover their face and hold their other hand up, cover the face with the hand or some cloth, cover the hand up and say, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." I thought the other day, just happened to jump through my mind, that I need to walk into a restaurant that says mask are required, put my hand over my face, put my hand up and scream, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Guarantee I'd clean the restaurant out in a hurry. But there's so many people today that have simply surrendered our rights and our liberties in doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a submission, a willing submission to lockdown. We've had lockdowns across America that destroyed the economy. It's destroyed the great economic engine that President Donald J. Trump had brought about in America, the best economy in the history of the nation at any point in time. And yet it's been eviscerated as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and it being weaponized by the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party to destroy the office of president for Donald J. Trump. But businesses have lost billions of dollars, millions of jobs, hundreds of thousands of businesses closed. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the surrendering of our rights, the surrendering of our Bill of Rights. And I'm asking the question, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for us to stand? Is there not a cause for us to say, "No, I'm not submitting"? Is there not a cause, a greater cause than just looking at self, of saying, "This is for my legacy, this is for my children and for their children's children, for the future of America, that they might enjoy the liberties and the freedom, the constitutional republic that we have today in America"? We have, ladies and gentlemen, for the most part, submitted to, and the willingness to cancel our absolute freedoms that we have today. We have submitted to the push by the left to cancel Thanksgiving. You'd be surprised how many people submitted to the fiat, willy-nilly rule and regulation that came out of the ear of some scientist or some COVID expert or some CDC official that said we need to limit it to 6 in our homes for Thanksgiving, that we need to limit it to 2 hours, that we need to have the eating outside, we need to go in and sanitize the bathrooms after everyone walks out. And you'd be surprised how many people across America submitted to that, thinking that I want to do what's right, therefore I'm going to submit to what the government says, not analyzing where it's going. What is the next step of submission? If we continue the escalation, That is the ever-increasing, daily-increasing mandates from government over us. There's some states now that are going to total 100% lockdown. L.A. County in California have gone to a 100% absolute total lockdown. Each time there is a submission and a willingness to surrender our Bill of Rights, the governmental authorities, the wannabe dictators, the arrogant oligarchs want to increase their power, and they do so by increasing that authoritative demand that we bow and bend even more. And now Christmas is upon us. The same rules and regulations are now being tweaked and put out, demanding that we not celebrate Christmas. After all, you can do so online. After all, you can do so by Zoom. After all, you can do so by way of Skype. After all, the family will understand. Grandma and Grandpa will understand, because after all, you don't want to kill them, do you? That's the mindset. Yes, even the so-called pastors, for the most part, have hidden in their closets, under the beds, not realizing, ladies and gentlemen, there's an escalation to this submission that's demanded by the government over us. I've got an article that's not totally related to what I'm speaking on, but I thought it was fitting at this point. It was on Facebook. My wife gave it to me. I'm not a Facebooker. It says the churches used to be everyone come to the choir. Now it's a praise team. Church people used to feel free to testify of the good things of God. Now that's not in our plans. People used to be faithful to church every service. Now they only come on Sunday morning. People would pack an altar for prayer and cry out to God. Now the altar is empty. Preachers used to read, study, and pray for messages. Many today read the internet and study how to deliver a sermon, deliver someone else's message. Church music was part of the worship experience. Now it's so loud it has become the focal point. Church used to pray for God to send them a pastor. Now it's a beauty contest. We know him. He would fit nicely with our group, caring less if he even met the biblical standards and qualifications. Church used to have the Holy Ghost leading the services. Now we have emotional motions leading the church. Let's seek out the old paths, this writer says, and walk in them again. Church, this article says, church, we need to be Christ-centered and follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost in our services, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a little succinct, but it points out clearly that today our churches have perhaps been as much, if not more, affected, negatively speaking, than the businesses that have gone bankrupt. People today, ladies and gentlemen, are simply wallowing in a sense of, this is what the law says, so I don't have to go to church. Ladies and gentlemen, the Barner Report, George Barner, says that 4 out of 10 of the churches that have closed will never reopen. 6 out of 10 of them will have major financial burdens and difficulties even when reopening. Perhaps you're listening today and your church has not opened back up. Well, I'm here to announce to you, First Conservative Baptist Church is open. 9:30 Sunday morning is Bible study. 10:45 is morning worship. 7 o'clock is evening worship. If your church is closed, we welcome you to come and visit with us as the old-time gospel is preached, as God has given it to us. I don't say that trying to pull you away from church, but I say that because I believe that we need to recognize that it's time for us to realize that there is a cause, and that cause is for Christ and for the liberties and the freedoms and the Bill of Rights and our constitutional liberties to preach and teach the gospel. And the cause is for us to realize that we need to be back in church, and our churches need to open the doors, ladies and gentlemen. The pastors are hidden at the expense and the loss of churches and religious freedoms. Where are the patriot pastors willing to face the enemy of God, the enemies of the church, and say, we ought to obey God and not government when it comes to religious liberties? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, There's a few people that's still standing. There's a few people that still won't bend. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about today the subject, the issue is there not a cause? There is a cause today, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get behind that cause and take a stand. Here's an article that says, lawsuit. Christian Starbucks barista says she was fired for refusing to wear an LGBTQ pride shirt. A former Starbucks barista in New Jersey alleged in a lawsuit filed November the 19th that she was fired from the coffee shop chain because she refused to wear a shirt in support of LGBTQ causes due to her Christian belief. May her tribe increase, ladies and gentlemen. She refused to bow and to submit by putting on a sodomite shirt to promote the sodomite lifestyle, and she was fired from Starbucks. I want to tell you, I haven't been in Starbucks in years. Starbucks is antithetical to anything that's called Christian atmosphere or Christian beliefs or Christian policies. If you go to Starbucks, you're wasting God's dollars with an institution that hates you if you're a Christian. It hates the church. It hates God's people. It's against the Second Amendment right. And they are absolutely for everything that we'd call moral, ethical declension and debauchery. This article further says, according to the New York Post, Betsy Farese, a New Jersey resident, said in the lawsuit that she made her employer aware of her faith when she began working at the Hoboken Starbucks location. The filing alleged Farese saw a box of the Starbucks Pride shirts on a desk in June of 2019 and asked if she'd be required to wear one. She says she was told she would not have to. However, according to the NBC News, she was contacted by Starbucks Ethics and Compliance Helpline about her decision not to wear the shirt, this article says. The suit said she told them that she couldn't wear it because her religious beliefs prevented her from doing so. The article further states on the last sentence, last paragraph, when silence becomes exponentially easier than exercising your rights, hear me, listen to what is said in this article. When silence has become exponentially easier than exercising your rights, something's amiss. It's not that we can definitively say Farese was discriminated against. That's not the point. No Christian, based on their own experience, doubts this could have happened to her or to them, and it could happen to any one of us. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we ought to look at. That's where we need to stand. That's where we need to recognize of what is taking place. What we see today happening has never taken place as such in the United States of America and in the history of Christendom in America. We're watching the curtain come down. We're watching this is the foreshadowing. This is the stage being set. This is the actors being put in place that we're watching today for the ultimate showdown against America and against the church and against our liberties. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for us to take a stand? Is there not a cause for us to stand up and speak up? Is there not a cause for Christians to say, I'll not take this any longer? Is there not a call for the patriots to come out of the woodwork and say, we're going to stop hiding under the bed and in the closet? Is there not a cause for pastors to say, we're going to open our churches and we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is there not a cause today for our Constitution, for our Bill of Rights, to recognize that if we don't stand, who's going to stand? If we don't stand, if we're not standing now, when will we stand? If we're not going to speak out now, when will we speak out? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the danger that looms before us and recognize there is a cause. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to continue our thoughts today on the issue. Is there not a cause? We're going to look at those that took the stand. We're going to look at those that did not take the stand and the result of it. Be right back. Don't turn your dial as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.